Okay, this week, Bashir is going to take a slightly different tack than usual in the following way. Usually, I like to spend time developing long mahalchim, but I have so much awesome stuff to say this week that it's going to be a lot of short hits. It's going to be, you don't like that? You're okay. Okay.
Morning, please.
Okay. It's going to be a lot of short hits. So the Ksav HaKabbalah is absolutely off the charts this week in terms of his chidushim. Different ways of seeing Psukim than almost all the other Mepharshim. Really phenomenal stuff. Now that I got your hopes up, you're going to be all disappointed. But okay, here we go. I'm not even going to read everything inside as much. I'm going to leave more for homework because there's so much great stuff to say. In the first pshat, he basically asked the following simple question. When you leave, you actually leave things in the opposite direction. When you first leave your father's house, then you leave your birthplace, then you leave your land. If you're walking away from something physically, it should have said in the opposite direction. So he says that the pasuk is not referring to leaving the place physically, it's referring to leaving in your thoughts. And he says that the thing that lingers longest, when a person needs to leave a philosophy, if a person is in a bad place with bad people, in a bad atmosphere, so the thing that you leave first, actually, is the land, but your house, your home, is that what sticks with you the longest. So the reason why is the point number one. The reason why it's written in reverse order, really, when a person leaves physically, you first leave your house, then you leave your birthplace, then you leave your land. But the reason why it's written the other way around is because it's not talking about a physical leaving, it's talking about leaving the ideas, philosophies, and ideologies that he had to leave. So when that happens, it goes the other way around. The easiest thing is first to leave the largest country, but what's from your home, that's the thing that sticks with you the longest, and that's the hardest thing to actually get rid of. The influences that were closest to you that are bad are the hardest things to leave. So that's why that's the last. That lingers with you the longest. That's why he says that the reverse. And I think the lesson from that, I thought, was just a person has to think a little bit in life. You know, what are the bad habits that he develops? You know that are from sometimes in a person earliest, like very early when you develop. The Gemara has a lesson that the bad things that you develop when you're young. Once it's there, it's very very hard to get rid of. I think I once told the story that a certain Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael, one time he was giving a talk to a girl's seminary or something, and then in the middle of the talk he starts. Like he launched into his Marb Albert voice, and he was able to say the entire like description of some goal that the Rangers scored when he was like 7 years old, and he had the whole thing. He was able to say the whole like 2 minute thing word for word the way Marb Albert said it, and he said it to them. I'm not telling this to you because I'm proud of it, but because I was 7 years old or 10 years old, what he was saying is like the schmutz that gets into your head when you're 10 years old. You can't get rid of it. You know this. Whatever, every person according to their own thing. But the point of it is that certain things once you when they get into your system, it's very hard. So that's why Beis Avicha, he says, is last. Oh, Ve'escha L'Goy Gadol. Let's look at the second piece again. Some of them I'm going to do outside because there's so much unbelievable stuff this week. There's so much unbelievable stuff. Here we go. So there was just one little piece of this very long piece. You can do the rest for homework, but there's one little piece that I wanted to. That is so powerful, really powerful. So he says, Chazal have a very interesting take on this pasuk. Eschal Goy Gadol. Chazal have a very interesting take. Eschal Goy Gadol, Zesh Omer Melokei Avram. Vavarechacha, Zesh Omer Melokei Yitzchak. Vagadosh Mecha, Zesh Omer Melokei Yaakov. Yachal Yei Chosim Bechulun Tamlon, Vahiyi Brocha Becha Chosim Velobahem. The idea that we end, Becha Chosim Velobahem, the idea that we end with Magen Avraham. We say in Shon Esrei, okay Avraham, okay Yitzchak, okay Yaakov, but we end with okay Avraham. So he says, what in the world? Where do you see that in the pasuk? Right, the second part, Eschol Goy Gadol, that's okay Avraham. Va'avarechcha, that's okay Yitzchak. Va'agadlo Shemecha, that's okay Yaakov. What does one thing have to do with the other? So he says something very very beautiful. It's a little hard to figure out how he connects what he says to this pshat. But the pshat itself is very important in philosophy. Anyway, venerally, look at the second line. B'kavanasam. Ki mitziyas alokus, achduso hashkachaso v'yicholto. The existence of Hashem and His oneness, his watching over us and his abilities, omnipotence. No das lanu im mitzad haidia v'asech l'hamechkaris. He says, knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known from two ways. Number one, yidia and haskala hamechkaris, logical analysis. Im mitzad ha'emuna. But there's another piece of our relationship with Hashem. Part of it is based on knowledge, and part of it is based on belief, not rational analytical thinking, but a belief, just emuna. Emuna means even when you don't understand something, even when there's parts of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that you don't understand, you still have to be connected, even the parts that you don't understand. And look,
emuna should come before. Do you think?
Well, look what he says. Look what he says. Look at how beautiful he says it. Look what he says. Good. He says like this. Ushtein ka'achas tovos. Both elements of this are absolutely necessary. Ki hayidia levada eina maspekes b'chol esuzman. He says a rational, logical approach is not going to carry a Jew through every single period of his life. Not everyone's going to be in that place all the time that I know for sure, logically, rationally, that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam that is... the idea is not always going to be... Ki adas v'seichel adam yishtaneh l'fi hamikrim. Wow. Your das and seichel, it's not like a continuum that's the same way all the time. Uve'itim roim, at certain difficult times in a person's life, ein dato tzlula olav. His rational, logical thinking is not always necessarily going to be so clear. Uvenakel yachal lipol bereshes hasafek ba'amitiyus ela. Wow, and a person could fall in the trap of doubt. He could fall in the trap of doubt about the truth. And again, it doesn't necessarily mean that every person is going to wake up and become an apikoros for a few days, but it means that sometimes the things that the Ribbono Shel Olam does can give us pause. They can have rational, and he says that's okay. It's supposed to be that way. Not every person is supposed to, that every second of his life, they're on the rational approach, is always going to be there. V'gam ha'emuna levada eina ma'ala nechbedes. However, just belief, I trust, just without any understanding of who the Ribbono Shel Olam is and how the Ribbono Shel Olam works, you need understanding also. It's not good either just to be totally dependent on emuna without a rational understanding. Kimitzad she'elos haminim, because the apikorsim have such good kashas against the Ribbono Shel Olam, efshel l'hisrapos be'emuna levada. If you just have emuna, you could end up weakening yourself if you listen to these people. Ulozeh ha'emuna hi ezer ha'yedia. Listen to what he says beautifully. Ulozeh ha'emuna hi ezer ha'yedia v'ha'yedia mish'enes ha'emuna. He says they mamish go hand in hand. They each support each other. The emuna supports the yediyah, and the yediyah supports the emuna. V'chol achas tzricha l'chaverta. Each of them needs the other one. Lo yiref milacha b'dalim es emunasa. Okay, now, where does he get that from in Elokei Avraham? So, what does that have to do with Elokei Avraham? Okay, it's of Yaakov, v'chol chosman. So, just to, from what I understood, he basically says is that, I'll just show it to you. He says, Avram was the one who discovered the Ribbono Shel Olam. Avram was the one who made the rational discovery. Avram was the one who made the rational discovery. But he says, a person might think, after the rational discovery, is this really going to last? Is this really going to be a long term? Avram could be worried, yeah, I discovered the Ribbono Shel Olam, but what does that mean about my kids? What does it mean about my kids? How do I know my kids? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, don't worry. Not only is this religion going to last with you, not only are you going to have your rational, logical approach, but the fact that your son is going to follow and your grandson is going to follow is a raya that this religion is built for long-term success, meaning that you need both the rational and the emotional. That's what I understood from what he said. You could do it for your homework, later, but to me, the most important part of this piece is just this understanding that it's okay for a person to go through times. I mean, I remember, I'll just give from my own life, I lost a very, very close friend of mine when I was, let's say, in my early 30s. So I remember my chavrusa was totally healthy, beautiful family, made aliyah, and just, and it just it, Mamish would learn 3 hours a night and was very successful in business, and like you thought it was like that. And just like when it happens, and this guy walking to work one day has an aneurysm and drops dead on the spot. I remember just, you know, just struggling, like, not that I said, oh, there can't be, there's no, but 30 years, you know, I'm a young kid, you know, you haven't been around in the world, and you just, you get hit by something like that. So I remember, you know, struggling with it. Not like there's no rabbin, say there's no rabbonim, but just like, I can't, mamish could not wrap my heads around it. It took me a while to just wrap your head around it. So I think he's saying, that's okay. And Rabbi Jonathan Sachs writes one place about asking questions on Pesach. And there's a line here in the Ksav says the same thing. It's okay to ask questions, but it's good to ask questions. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. But part of asking questions is knowing that sometimes there's not a good answer that you don't understand. And there's a Rabbanu Shlom, he has an answer. We have Emunah. You don't. That's where you go. You don't have the rational, but yeah, even on those places where there's no rational, that's when the belief has to sneak in. You have to say, I don't understand. It's a good kasha. But you have to know when to say, like Rav Shechter used to tell us, Afakasha Shtarbenish. You have to know when to say it's a good kasha. You have to know when to say Afakasha Shtarbenish. You don't die from a kasha. You know, okay, you have kashas, but that's because you don't understand. So it's hard, but that's what he stresses over here. Oh, let's continue. Veheye Bracha. Again, here you have a situation where you read this pasuk 1.5 million times, but you never asked this kasha. You never asked this kasha. What? How do you read these words, Bechlau? Take a look inside the Chumash. Take a look inside, right? I'll make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. Veheye bracha. You will be a bracha. Or be a bracha. Tzivoy. Veheye bracha. Avram might be asking, like, how do I do that? How do I become a blessing? What does that mean, that a human being becomes a blessing? The Heye Bracha, what does Bechlal mean? So he has two beautiful explanations here. Take a look on the top of the second page. The Heye Bracha. Yesh Mefarshim Tamo V'Heye Ish Bracha. Yesh Mefarshim Birchoscha Tia Kolkach Gedoyla Asha Tia Bracha La'Acheru. So he's struggling. What does this mean, that your bracha should, what does it mean? So he doesn't like either of those explanations. He says, V'yoser yitachen pirish, I think that's Harav Ovadia Sfarno. V'yoser yitachen pirish Harav Ovadia Sfarno. Heye li bracha. Hashem saying to him, I want you to be a bracha for me. Heye li bracha. How can a human being be a bracha for their Ribbono Shel Olam? What does that mean, that a human being is a bracha for their Ribbono Shel Olam? V'ze yiyeh b'masha tizbonein, that you will think for yourself. V'tikne shleimus. And you will spend your life trying to acquire perfection. When we say trying to acquire perfection, obviously we don't mean to actually become perfect, but to always be striving for more and more perfection, for more and more perfection in deed, in word, in thought, in your relationships with other Jews, in your relationships with Hashem. Strive for perfection. I was just working on my father's tombstone, my father's kever, so my siblings felt that the word shlemus should be in there. We should have the word shleimus, because my father worked very hard on being shalem, being somebody who was complete in all areas. Don't just choose one area. Not just good in tefillah, but not in Talmud Torah, but not in chesed, the way he treated people. Shleimus. Part of being a Jew is to strive for shleimus in all areas. In all areas. There's no such thing as an area that you don't try to make yourself as good. There's no such thing as, oh, I only work on this area, not another area. Shleimus. So what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling you? I want you to the tikne shleimus. Utilame das es ha'am, and then I want you to take everything you learn and try to spread it. This is a big yisod of Avram. I was going to say, Avram wasn't just content to be the way he was himself. He was someone who tried to spread it. Ki birkas Hashem hi. What does it mean? What does it mean? Vehiye bracha, be a blessing to me. How's Avram Avinu a blessing to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Ki birkas Hashem hi sheyismach Hashem b'masav. Amram Yishmael bni Barcheni Amatel Yiratzen sheyagolu chasadecha mitasecha ulufize ein sarch letosefes on lehepech. He says, how are you a blessing to me? You're a blessing to me that when you can cause me to rejoice in my people, if you can be a walking kiddush Hashem, that other people look at you and say, oh, this is a shalem, this is a kiddush Hashem, this is a baal midos, this is a yid. This is what it, when you could actually spread it to other people,
That's Vehayeh Bracha.
So that's the way the Ksav HaKabbalah understands, that you will be a blessing to me. You'll be a blessing to me, to the Ribbono Shlom, because Yismach Hashem b'masav, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejoices when others achieve Shleimus. And I think each one of us has the opportunity in our workplaces, in our relationships with in shul, the way people talk about us in shul, the way people look, right? That's important. V'yisim nikim Hashem u'mi Yisrael, that we're supposed to be a walking Kiddush Hashem. Kidei Shem Shemayim, that's also on our father's tombstone. Kidei Shem Shemayim. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to walk, as we're going to see in a few moments. Let's continue. There's so much more to say this week. We're going to go a lot of short hits this week. V'hayyei bracha. Another pshat on V'hayyei bracha. Ushnei hametur gemanim, Unklus and Yonas and Benuziel, Tirgamu V'hayyei bracha. I think this now again. I don't think it means usihi mevarech. I think it says usihi mevorach. If you look in Unklus, Unklus over here says, Usehe mivarach. Mivarach, I don't think it means mivarech. I think it means you should be blessed. Again, this word veheye bracha, very, very strange word. Veheye bracha, be a blessing. What does it mean, be a blessing? Tell me, how do I do that? How do I become a blessing? So Unkelus and Yonas and Bezil say it means mivarach. Not that you should be blessed. You will be blessed. Veheye, you will be blessed. So the Ksav HaKabbalah has a beautiful explanation. Kavanasam kimo shebekamim mekoymas mishamish b'shem hamikre b'makom toar kimo va'ani tefila. David HaMelech writes about himself, va'ani tefila. Now what he means is, I davened a lot. I became a davener. But the way David HaMelech said I became a davener means, I became a chetza of tefila. I became... You turn an adjective or a description, really an adverb, into like a noun, into who you are. I am a tefillah. I became a prayer. I became a chefz of prayer. So v'heye bracha, he's saying, he became a chefz of blessing. He became an object that was defined by blessing. You looked at him and you thought blessing. This is a blessing. V'heye bracha. Not that he says that's what Unklus means. V'heye bracha doesn't mean that he became someone who was blessed, but he became so identified with being someone who was blessed that he was defined by the nomenclature blessing. That's the way people referred to him. They looked at him and they thought, felt blessing. This is what it was. And he explains it further. Like he says, Maskilo David biyoso bamarat tefila. Va'olasa kafza piya. Shal medrashim yichaseim. Ish tefila. Really, it means ish tefila. Ish olasa. Uve'emes ein tzarech lezeh. You don't need the ish. Shaha mikra. I don't understand totally what he means by these words, all the words there. Shaha mikra. I know what he means. I just don't know how the words mean what he says. Shaha mikra hamisdabekes umisatsemes im etzem nosa, meaning a description that becomes so at one with the thing that it's describing. Ad shelo tiparid mimeno b'shum pam. So that every time you look at it, you looked at David HaMelech and you automatically thought tefillah. He was always davening, he was always saying Tehillim, he was always a chetz of tefillah, that when you looked at him, you didn't have to say he was someone who davened, you just thought of davening right away. He was one with davening. Achilo tipor men, it was never separated from him, b'shum pam. Oz gederes alav b'inyan gam b'shem, v'tam ani tefillah. K'mochein, ani davok b'tefillah. Ani davok b'tefillah. Ad shekol hakanonim apogin bi, einu mezizim osim imakom yumen yani libli hispalo. Anybody who tries to throw whatever they want to throw at me, I'm never going to stop davening. I'm a chefz of tefillah at all times. Umitzadze hahis atzmos, tier es atzmo b'shem tefillah. Because of this strength and koach that David HaMelech had, that he was always davening at every moment, so he described himself, he says, I am a living, walking prayer. That's what I am. Va'ani tefila. I am a living, walking prayer. B'makom toar mispalo. As opposed to describing me as one who does daven, he simply described himself as a living, breathing prayer. Va'ani tefila. Fascinating.
But to differentiate, this is really Hashem saying you will be this.
Oh, let's see. L'sadir is tefila. So there's the next line, Barry. Because of the tadir, because of the frequency of his tefila. Val karvana zu amur rabbi sein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikra mishpat v'lo shofet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mishpat. Not that he judges. He is the definition of justice. I'm Ashkenazi in tefillah. Okay, I'm Melech HaMishpat, fine. V'chein Amar Kan, Baracha b'makom mivorach. God said about Avram, not that you will be blessed, but actually you are a living, walking, talking blessing. Anybody who would look at you, the thing they would think about, the first thing they would say about him, my gosh, this is the definition of blessing, of somebody who's blessed. B'makom mivorach. Lahoros shahabracha tistabik v'tisatzim b'cha ad shaloti parim b'cha b'shem pam. V'heye bracha. Be a blessing. Be a chefts of blessing. Be the definition of the chefts of blessing. So what's the lesson for us? First of all, there's a lesson for us in terms of tefillah. Like, unbelievable. David HaMelech was somebody who was like a living, walking chefts of tefillah, va'ani tefillah. Right? A person is supposed to try to strive to be like that. That he's so connected to the Rebbe Shalom in every scenario, right? When Kamenetsky walks into the Beis Medrash on Friday morning, 5 o'clock, he says, Rebbe Shalom, please give me the right words to say. Please give me the right words to say. Right? Like Rav Eisenbach, the Tefillin Macher, and from Bati Ungarin, from Eretz Yisrael, my grandfather got my father's Tefillin from him, and my father got all my siblings' Tefillin, and I got my four sons' Tefillin from Nebuchi Uri. In the course of giving this year, 2 weeks ago, Uri Lazar told me he was Nifter. I didn't even know he was Nifter. But he said, oh, he always wanted to tell me that whenever you put your hand on the classroom door in the morning, when you put your hand on the classroom door, you have to say a little tefillah, Rebbeinu Shlom, please give me the right words to say. After whenever a person finds himself in any matzav, Rebbeinu Shlom, please help me be myself. You go into a meeting, you're about to meet with a client, and you want it to go well, kind of utter a little tefillah. That's David HaMelech was. Ba'ani tefillah. He was a living, he was so connected to tefillah, he was a living, walking chefzer of tefillah. And the other lesson that the Hey Bracha about how that your person can work on himself that to be so besimcha and so connected to Hashem, and he views whatever he has in his life as bracha, right? A person who walks around always viewing everything in his life as bracha, his family is bracha, his parnasa is bracha, whatever house he lives in is bracha, whatever car he's bracha, it's all bracha. A person who lives like that, so when the world looks at him, all they think about is bracha. A person who carries himself around like that, that mamish, he feels like the most blessed person in the world, and he's always besimcha, and he's never complaining. So they look at a person who's walking around sour-faced all the time. So what does the world think about when they see about him? They think Nebuchadnezzar, his life is so miserable. It doesn't matter how much he has. But if you walk around all day long miserable, so the world looks at you as not bracha, the opposite of bracha, chas v'shalom. So I think that's one of the lessons here too. Oh, vayivin sham mizbeach. I said this week we're doing a lot of short hits. Vayivin sham mizbeach. Listen to this. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, a chutzpah. The guy first comes to the land, comes to Eretz Yisrael. He's a stranger. He's walking around and he takes a plot of land and he decides to make him his beach. Vasep is a chutzpah. He didn't even own anything yet. But ein safek shelo bana brishus she'ena shelo. So the Ksav HaKabbalah says he couldn't have built him his beach on land that he didn't own. Built in Nisina Rishus Baal of Livnoso. It had to be that whoever owned that land gave him permission to build it, the Mizbeach. V'gam anshelo hoyolo chashash sheba'ozvos ha'makom hazeh yisham she'anshe ha'makom ha'mekudosh la'ashem yisprach v'tashbish yatzabeyem. He also wouldn't build the Mizbeach on a place that after he was gone they were going to use it for Avodah Zarah. V'zeh lo hoya efshelo rak, so must be, they built the Mizbeach, he built the shul. And the shul was going to stay like that. And he made sure it was going to be a shul even after he wasn't there. It was going to be a base medrash. So he says, must be, v'zelai avshalo, rak acha limdos am das Hashem, v'hikiru deosein ha-meshubashos, v'nasno lev lazo v'zom lahamim v'bori olam, v'davar godla hishmein ha-kosm v'binyan ha-mizbeach lo diyanu, shekvar hishtadil m'toshve ha'ir lo diyam derech ha-emes, v'yasum v'darcheim ha-nishchosos, Avram Avinu was in Eretz Yisrael for a week. He was there for a few days and already had built the shul. He had already converted a bunch of followers and he had already built it. And that was it. That's who Avram Avinu was. He couldn't rest. He's not going to waste time. Right away, he says, what are you guys doing here? Let me tell you what I'm about. Avram Avinu was the kind of person that he couldn't resist talking to people about the truth that he had found in his life and his world. And he spread it right away. He spread it immediately.
It's part of the plan to be ve'ayye bracha. He's just, he's doing those things, all the right things.
Exactly. He didn't waste a second.
What do you think he said to him? To get that? No, seriously, what do you think, I mean, he's in a land that these... Next.
Totally foreign. What did he say? We need a whole nother shiur for that. What did he say to him?
A lifetime, maybe.
What did he say to him? What do you say? Honestly, I think nowadays it's more what you do than what you say. If you want to be matzliach and being makarif people, it's not so much what you say. It's I believe it's who you are. This my approach always has been. It's much more about who you are. Your actions speak much louder than words. And the best way to be makarif people is what you live for, the ideals that you live for, as opposed to big musa shmuzin or inspiring drushes. To me, that's the greater influence and impact happens that way. But apparently, Avraham Avinu, whatever it was, he had the gift. Like Barry was saying, because veheye bracha, because he walked around, he was a living bracha, that's actually what gave him the rights to be able to do it. Problem. That's what I think is the best. Oh, just a little beautiful idea. Ki anoshim achim anachnu. Anytime I could speak a little bit about how terrible machlokas is, how terrible arguments are, and how Jews have to run far away from machlokas. Look what he says away. Like so, the roe Avram, the shepherds of Avram, the shepherds of Lot. We're starting to get into it a little bit. So what does Avram Avinu say to him? He says, "Al natihi meriva." Who speaks to him? Yom Avram Lot. I'm on page 31 now. Al natihi meriva beiniu veinecha uvein roai vein roecha ki anoshim achim anachnu. Again, you read this pasuk all the time. Anoshim achim. So Ksav HaKabbalah points out that whenever the Torah uses the word anoshim, it means anoshim chashuvim. So Ksav HaKabbalah says anoshim achim anachnu. He's giving you two reasons why we shouldn't be fighting. Two reasons why we shouldn't be fighting. Number one, we're both anoshim. We're both chashuvim people. Anoshim means chashuvim people. Chashuvim people don't fight because fighting is for people get into arguments. That's for kleinkeit. That's for people who are small people. Who are little people? People who hold grudges, who fights because you can't let go of it. The guy in shul looked at you the wrong way 7 years ago, so you haven't spoken to him. He didn't give you an aliyah. The guy didn't give you an aliyah 8 years ago, so you're still I didn't invite him to your simcha because he didn't give you an aliyah. What are you, these small people? It's such smallness. It's just something. Get over it. Get over it. He didn't look at you. A guy didn't invite you to simcha, so get over it. I couldn't believe it. A guy was in my office this week. Telling me that in our community, like if you don't invite the guy to the simcha, it's like forget it. It's, you don't talk to him. Not everybody could afford to have 10 million people at the simcha. Not everybody could afford. It's like, but people hold. It just bothers me so much what people hold grudges over, what people hold fights over. I'm angry with this. I'm angry with this one. I'm angry with and people. Brothers haven't spoken for 20 years over what they don't even remember what it was anymore. They don't even remember. So anoshim achim anachnu. So Avram tells Lot. First of all, we're both anoshim. We're big people. Big people could forget. So we shouldn't fight, number one, because we're anoshim. Number two, we're achim. We're also mishpacha. Mishpacha doesn't fight. That was the rule in my house. That was my parents' rule. My father's rules. You could be different. Everybody could, all the siblings could be, but everybody, there's never any discord between the siblings. Doesn't exist. In our house growing up, if you won't come to the dinner table if you were angry with another one of the siblings. It had to, okay, get over it. The siblings have to be close. The family has to be close. There was no option. We were not given the option growing up. My parents were the model. All kinds of things going on with their siblings and stuff, whatever it was. And Lamaisa, they said, it ain't going to happen in this house. This is a house of peace. This is a house of harmony. This is a house of shalom. People have to get along, and that's it. And that's the role model that they left us with, and that's the role model that we're trying to do with our kids also. The house has to be a place of simcha and shalom and achva, the reyos. You can have differences of opinion, that's fine. You have differences of opinion, but you still respect each other. Okay? You say like that? That's anoshim achim, anachnu, says the Ksav HaKabbalah. It's little people who fight. And achim don't fight, and anoshim, big people, don't fight. People who know what's really important in this world know that we have enough people who hate us, that the Klal Yisrael Yidden can't, we can't not be b'shalom with everybody else. We can't not be b'simcha. We have enough people who tell us about what machlokas is. Oh, there's so much to say here. Okay, let's go. Continue. Here we go. Oh, now the last four pieces are the best of all of them. And I feel badly. I'm going to have to go really, really quickly. Harimosi yadi. Unbelievable. Look what he says over here. Unbelievable pshat. So you may remember that there was a war between the four kings and the five kings. And Stone was one of the five kings and Lot was in Stone. So Lot was taken captive by the four kings in the victory of the four kings against the five kings. So Avraham Avinu went and he redeemed Lot from the four kings. And the king of Sodom was overjoyed. So Avram comes and he redeems the five kings from the hands of the four kings. And the king of Sodom comes, Vayetze Melech Sodom on page 34, Pasuk Yudzayin. Vayetze Melech Sodom l'krasar achrei shuv amei hakadosh kedar l'omer. Malki Tzedek brings out lechem v'yayin. Vayivarcheh, when he blesses him. Vayor Melech Sodom al Avram. So the king of Sodom says to Avram Avinu, maybe just, okay, you could take all the booty, you could take all the money, just give me back my people, and you take all the money. Now what does the Pasuk say? What does Avram Avinu say? Vayoma Avram, harimosi yadi el Hashem kelayon. I have lifted up my hands to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Kone Shemayim V'aretz owns, in Michut V'atzoruch, now I'm not going to take one shoestring. V'loy Soymar, you shouldn't say, I made Avram rich. Famous Pasuk. Famous Pasuk. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, Rashi says, what does he mean, I lifted up my hands? He swears. That's famous about Rashi, Harimosi Yadi's Lashon Shvuah. Do you swear to tell nothing but the truth? All the truth? So help me, whatever. Right? I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's, you lift up your hands. Like they do in courts nowadays. I had to sit in court Tuesday night for my son's speeding ticket. Actually, he's in Eretz Yisrael, so I got to pay for it to sit in court for him. Okay. He gets to sit and learn, I got to sit in court. Baruch Hashem. I had to sit there for 90 minutes for them to tell me that they wouldn't accept the affidavit from him, that he has to come back, pay some time when he comes back. He's got to come back and sit in court for another 3 hours. Baruch Hashem. Okay. V'chi, oh. So says the Ksav HaKabbalah, really? Avram had to swear he wasn't going to take anything from the booty? Avram Avinu, like what, we wouldn't trust him that he wouldn't take it? He had to swear? What kind of a shua shove for a person like Avram? He says, that's ridiculous. That can't be the pshat. V'lo havinosi, k'vichero, chush davar yoker. You think Avram really cared about the money? That's why Avram went into the war for the money, that he had to give a shvua to make sure that he wouldn't take anything from the booty? Is Avram Avinu? V'chilo yi ezeh berach adam gadol k'avram k'shvua shav, k'vichinam? Page 3. Then he quotes, the Medrash has a different pshat. V'harimosi yadi means enjoy. He was lifting his hands up in joy to say, I'm so happy that Hashem has given me everything I need. I don't need to take anything from you. It was a joyous statement. It was besimcha. But says the Ksav HaKabbalah, I don't like either pshat. He says, you know what it means? You know, it's Haram Asiyadi. Has many rayas from Ov Tanakh, Kedarko Bakodesh. Haram Asiyad means rebellion. Harimosi Yadi El Hashem. He says, if I were to take one iota of this booty, it would be spitting in the face of the Ribbono Shel Olam. For me to take this money. What? I need Avram's money to live. I need Melech Sodom's money to live. I have their abundance. Harimosi Yadi El Hashem. It's like, it's a rhetorical statement. It would be a rebellion. Haram Asiyad. Haram Asiyad means I'm raising my hand against you. Harimosi Yadi El Hashem. Do you think I would lift my hand up against the abundance to fight with the abundance to take money from you? Taking money from you will be a fight. I went to a Levi. My uncle was Nifty yesterday. I went to Levi yesterday, so they said, my uncle was the straightest person in the world, the straightest arrow. Mamish, like no kunz in the Talmud or Moshe Feinstein, whatever Moshe Feinstein said, he lived like, by the Igris Moshe, was like, basically for him, Torah was Chumash, Rashi, Mishnah, Gemara, and skip to Moshe Feinstein. Like, there was no one else, nothing else. It was, but straight like an arrow. So he used to work for the public school system, so one time, they sent him a check that had an extra zero on it. By mistake, they gave him a check that was literally an extra thousands, ended up being extra thousands of dollars, like a lot of money, extra. So it wasn't even a Shiloh. The public school system sent it to him. Not a Shiloh. Of course, he returned the money. They made a mistake. He didn't deserve it. He returned the money. What was a Shiloh? It wouldn't exist by him. Any kind of like, what smelled of any kind of dishonesty. I'll give you a funny example of it. In my house, we used to have my mom had a sticker, like one of these magnets on the fridge. It said, God couldn't be everywhere, so he created mothers. That's what it said on my fridge. God couldn't be everywhere, so he created mothers. So my uncle, when they would ever come to our house for Shabbos, he would get very, very angry at this day, very angry. What do you mean God couldn't be everywhere? It's apikorsis. He would say to my mom, how could you have that on the fridge? It's apikorsis. God couldn't. But he couldn't deal with anything that was a little off. Yashuas, right? So says the Ksav HaKabbalah, Harimosi, it would be a rebellion. against, it would be a rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu for me to take money for this. I did it for the mitzvah. I did it to save Sodom. I got plenty of money. I don't need your money.
Why isn't it earnings? Why isn't it earnings?
Well, it's good. I was thinking of that kasha also. Yeah, it's legit, right? It's legit. He deserved it. The booty of war, the spoiler. You got to look into. You got to do that for homework. Good kasha. Look what he says. Lashon Merida. Look at Velule Devarim. Look at five lines from the end. If not for the words of Rashi and the Medrash, who had the two other pshatim, Velule Devarim. You see, Lashon Hermosi Yad Lashem May Inyan Hayrim Yad B'Melech. Shu Lashon Merida. V'tama mikra, merida gedola b'malka shel olam ha'isachashuv b'einai im ekach mimcha ma'uma. Ki b'zeh haya nirek ilu meisam ani b'tchoyni ba'odam v'lo b'misha ha'oshem imenu levad. V'chein l'shenu ma'aleim el Hashem pirish rashi negdo l'achiso. V'yokam kayin el hevel achiv klomer negdo v'yokam. L'zeh siyim v'loy toma ani ha'sharti. Shelo toma ha'vav b'milas v'lo b'malkum shin kamo dabanesev v'yisheyiso. Ulaperizem milas im kipshuto vein sarch lefoshel leshlila. Im michud vatsuch na. If I would take it, chas hashom, I wouldn't do it. V'im akach v'lo sheloi tamar. Because if I would take it, then you'd be able to say, I made Avram Rich. No, I don't want you saying I'm Avram Rich. Good kasha. I hear the kasha. He's asking, he deserved it. What do you mean? He won it legitimately in battle. He deserved to have it. But even so, he didn't want to take it. Good kasha. Oh, now I have how much left here? Three left. Okay, in 5 minutes, we're going to give you the quick 3-minute hits. This is unbelievable.
He didn't want to say that that's how he made the money, that he helped.
Right. Now look at this. This is unbelievable. This is incredible. Remember, I told you, Meir Twersky told me that Ksava Kabbalah is an incredible mechadish. Listen to this. Chidusha. Listen to this. So, Achar Dvarim Ha'elo Hayad V'Hashem La B'machse Leimar, don't be afraid, Avram, Anochi Magin Lach, Schar Chahar B'Mo, you can have a lot of reward. V'yoymer Avram, Hashem Elokim, Ma Titein Li, V'Anochi Holech Ariyu, V'en Meshach Beis Yud Damasek Eliezer. Pashup Shad in the Pasuk is Avram saying, Hashem, very nice, you give me all this schar, but I have no kids. All I have is Eliezer. V'yoymer Avram, Hein Li Lona Sata Zera, V'hinei Ben Beis Yori Shosi. So he says a very, very long piece over here. Unbelievable. He says, so a lot of people say this was Avram complaining. And by the way, this is one of the themes I'm noticing in the Ksava Kabbalah. Everybody else, when they say that the Avos were chote, had sins, the Ksava Kabbalah always explains it that it's not a sin. Anaver. That's one of his big shitas. Even the Ramban, I mean, Gedoli HaRishonim say the Avos sin, but the Ksava Kabbalah says no. So here he says, some people say that this was a complaint, that he's complaining that he doesn't have kids. Ladasa, unfortunately, remember that Tar Omes Negdo Yisparach. So you know the way the Ksav Baal reads this pasuk, he's saying no. Hain means yes. Hakadosh Baruch Hu said because he's about to take him outside. He's saying so. Avram says, listen, don't think I'm upset. Hain, it's great. Hain li lona sata zera. Don't worry, I'm fine that I don't have kids. Eliezer will be enough. Uven Meshek Basi, don't worry, I have Doilu Mashkimitois Rabalachim, Huda Mesak Eliezer. Don't think that I'm upset that I don't have kids. I have Eliezer that's good enough. Unbelievable. No one else says this. Vayoma Avram, Hein Li Lona Satasera, Vahine Ben Basi Yorsis. Hashem tells him, No, come outside. I want to show you the stars. No, it's not going to be like that. It's not going to be Eliezer. Don't worry, you don't know how many people. This is what the Ksava Kabbalah says in 50 lines. I just said, but you have to. We're running out of time, so you got to see it for yourself. Unbelievable. But he says it's because of his humility and his anivus. I don't have kids. It's okay. I'm okay with that. And that's the gevaldike message to us, to consider whatever we have as a bracha, whether you have a lot or a little. Everybody has some area Everybody has an area things aren't going so well. Some people, the parnas is unbelievable, but the family is not going so well. Some people, the family is going to go to their miserable isaras of parents or shiduchim. Everybody has something. So the attitude has to be, Hein li lo nasata zera. It's gevaldik that I don't have kids. Baruch Hashem, I don't have kids. It's a tremendous magic. But again, if the Ribbono Shel Olam, if that's the way it happened, so if that's the Ribbono Shel Olam decides, then that's your avoda. You tried, you did your best. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, no, that's your avoda. If Hashem gave me for my father 73 years, I would have liked to have a lot more than 70. Some people's fathers, they get 80, 85, 90, you go to shit. If that's what I was, that's what you have to say. Hey, Lee, Baruch Hashem, I got 73 years. Some people only get 50. Some people, a kid my shir, you know, 3 years ago, my good friend walked onto the train, was nifter at age 51. So we don't know. We don't understand. Hey, Lee, lona sata zera. Or he says, Hainley, v'inei ben beisi yorish osi. Okay, if it's got to be Eliezer, beautiful. Oh. And then just the last two, very quickly, in the last minute, the last two explanations. Crazy pasuk, very strange pasuk. So he takes him outside, shows him the stars. Ve'emin b'Hashem v'yachshaveh lo tzedakah. He trusted in Hashem, and he considered it a tzedakah. What? He trusted in Hashem. Yeah, the master of the universe told you you can have kids. Ve'emin b'Hashem, he believed him. Yeah, when the master of the universe would tell me something, I'd probably believe him also. What's going on over here? So he says, no. That's not what it means. You have to see it inside. It's a little hard to explain here. He says, "V'hemin b'Hashem v'yachshaveh lo tzedakah" means like this: that it doesn't mean that he believed that he was going to have kids. Of course, he believed that. You don't need the Torah to tell me that. It means "schar chahar b'mod" means Hashem told me he's going to have olam haba. He's going to have olam haba, and he considered the gift of olam haba to be icing on the cake, to be icing. He gives a mashal. He says, "Can you imagine a guy goes to a doctor?" And the doctor says, if you want to be healthy, so take this medicine, eat this food, do this exercise. He gives him a whole regimen. And then the patient follows what the doctor tells him, and he gets healthy. So then the patient goes to the doctor, and he says, you know, you owe me money now, because I did exactly what you told me to do. You asked me to do this. I did what you asked me to do, so now pay up. The patient goes to the doctor to say, you have to pay me for doing. He says, that's what we're supposed to look at the Rabbanu Shlom? You should pay up now? You're kidding me? A life of Torah mitzvahs is gewaldic in this world. The payment already is for this world. That's what gives us a healthy way of living. Well, we're now going to go to the doctor who prescribed for us the medicine of how to live good in this world and say, oh, now pay me for it? So Olam Haba is mamish. It's like Olam Haba is like dessert. It's like extra payment. Not only, if you live a life of Torah mitzvahs, you get Olam Hazeh. Your Olam Hazeh is unbelievable, life of Torah mitzvahs. And now on top of that, you go, v'yachshaveh lo tzedakah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avraham Avinu felt, v'hemin b'Hashem, he believed he was going to get Olam Haba. By Akshavelo Tzedakah, and he considered that as if it's like the doctor paying the patient. He considered Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, is like the doctor paying the patient for doing what he said. I did what I did because I needed Olam Hazeh, I needed to live. So now that I get Olam Haba, it's even more. Oh. Chaim of a life of Torah Mitzvah is Olam Hazeh.
That is the gift. Living in Olam Hazeh is the whole... The
exactly,
whole,
exactly. Exactly what he's saying. And just the last point, last word. Bama Eidah Ki Yirashena. So Avraham Avinu, so everyone says, Bama Eidah, right? Hashem says you can have Eretz Yisrael. Avraham Avinu says, how do I know I'm going to get Eretz Yisrael? God just told you you're going to get Eretz Yisrael. You turn around and you say, how do I know I'm going to get it? It's a pillar. So some people say, Taka, the reason we're in Golos for so long was because Avraham Avinu didn't trust Ribbono Shel Olam. Says the Ksav, well, Chas V'Shalom, it's not what it means. He was so humble, he could not believe that he would be worthy of such a gift to be the progenitor of Am Yisrael, Klal Yisrael. When am I ever going to have a yediyah and really believe that I deserve all of this? That's what he said. He says, Hashem has blessed me with so much, I don't deserve any of it. When am I going to have yediyah? When am I going to have such a yediyah, Klal Yediyah Ki Yerushana, that I'm going to be the one who's supposed to be the starter of Klal Yisrael? He was so humble. Who's Am Ravino? Anochi Afar Va'ether. Unbelievable. He turns it on its head. Unbelievable. Everyone else says, but Ma'idak Hirushan, he was taken to task for it. He got punished for it. There's one opinion in the Gemara like that he got punished for it. He says, no, but Ma'idak Hirushan, when am I ever going to believe that I'm really going to be worthy of something? When am I going to have a yediyah? But Ma'idak, am I ever going to come to a point in my life that I'm really going to think that I deserve all these blessings that Hashem gave me? I remember my father sitting by the first chasna that I made. Baruch Hashem, I have to make two chasnas. So I remember my father sitting at the table. We sat him at the head table by my daughter. My daughter got married. I remember my father looking and telling me, like as he's sitting there at the chasna stage, he said to me, I'm pinching myself. Can I really believe that I'm zoicha to be at the chasna of a grandchild? I can't believe that I'm zoicha to be at a grandchild's chasna. I never would have imagined that I'd be zoicha to be that. I have grandchildren, to be at the chasna of a grandchild, Baruch Hashem, he was zoicha to be by two, you know, by the second one was this past January in Eretz Yisrael. He was zoicha to be there, but my father always had that perspective. my cup runneth over. My cup, I feel like I have so much more than I deserve. We discussed this once, and the person that there's a marshal in Bava Kamma, the person's not supposed to say that. You're not supposed to say you have more than you deserve. You're not supposed to say it that way. That you have more than you deserve. Because the Rebbe Hashem gave you that, so the shtickel apikar says you have more than you deserve. Hashem gave it to you, that means you deserve it. You're supposed to have it. Okay, we're not going to get into that. But Avraham Avinu said, Anechi offer ve'efer. I'm worthless. Bama edaki Yerushalayim says, Sava Kabbalah. It means, when am I going to have the ish? So what's the theme here? The theme is that Avram was an ish of shleimus, of humility, of never wanting to have anything other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessing. Hopefully we should be able to live our lives with these midos, striving for shleimus, ben lamakum ben l'chaveiro, and Hashem should always bless us with everything we need, and the matzav ruach to enjoy it. Right? Not just, of course we have what we need, we always have what we need, but not just that you should bless everything we need, but to have the right perspective. I need fila, always being somebody who's davening, connected, appreciating, and all that he has, and hopefully we should have lives of v'hayei bracha. Should be lives of bracha. Rabbi Chanan Mekashim Asa Kodesh Baruch Hu Zakeh Sev V'chir Baruch Tomesh Amar Adonai Chafetz Aman Sev Kol Yagdil Torah V'yadir Yizkadal V'yizkadash Mei Rabbah V'yom Adi V'achir V'sev V'yom Lech Malchus Sev V'chai Yechon V'yom Uchon V'chai Yedchol V'yis Yisrael Bagal Abiz Ban Kariv V'im Ruh Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbah Mevarach Le'olam L'omei Om Ayois Barach Yishtabach Yisbar Yisamah V'yisna Sev Yisador V'yisalei 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 Leila Mkol Chasa B'Shiru Asa Adesh B'Chasa V'Lech Masa Adai V'Ran V'yom Mavim Ruh Amen Ayisol Arabam Al Tamadei V'al Kol Tamadei Samadei V'al Kol Mandos Kibor Raisa D'Yasar Adev D'Yu Chol Asar V'Asar Yehel Hon Ul Chon Shlom Arab Bachin of Chist of Rach and Chan Rechim Zon Rabbi Chir Vokal Mekad Novo and Vishmaya Vim Ruh Amen Yehei Shlom Arab Amin Shemaya V'Chaim Olein Val Kol Yisrael Vim Ruh Amen Oseh Shalom Vim Ramah V'yaseh Shalom Olein Val Kol Yisrael Vim Ruh Amen Have a great Shabbos. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you for coming.